The sermon text this morning loosely based on John 8, verse 54. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want you to know that I had a wonderful, because every one of my sermons are wonderful. I had a wonderful sermon prepared for you on the Holy Trinity and our human inability to understand the Holy Trinity. How the Holy Trinity is a mystery that we can't figure out, and we don't need to figure it out. We need to trust the words of God in the Holy Bible, His word to us, that God is exactly who we confess Him to be in the Athanasian Creed. And then I was going to astound you with a discourse on the ministerial and magisterial use of human reason and about how our human reason should always be a servant of the biblical text. And then yesterday, late afternoon, I was mowing my grass. And mowing the grass can be a dangerous thing to do. I wanted to mow my grass yesterday. You know why I wanted to mow my grass yesterday? Because of Ron Goldhammer. Because Ron would come by and he'd say, do you need me to mow your grass? If you're busy, I can mow your grass for you. And I knew he'd ask me this morning, do you need me to mow your grass? And I was like, it's Father's Day today, tomorrow. Like, I don't need to bug around on Father's Day. So I got out, I was like, I'm going to get my grass mowed. And I was mowing my grass. Sure enough, Ron walked down the street. And almost every time Ron walks down the street in Lana, I flag him down. I'm pushing the mower. I'm like, go here. Come on over. You can mow here. And he's like, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. I got to keep walking. So I was mowing my grass. And I was thinking the whole time about Father's Day and how Father's Day is on many minds today. And as I was mowing the grass, you know how your mind wanders when you're doing that. And since Father's Day was on my mind, of course, I had the words to James Blunt's Monsters floating through my head. I'm not your son, you're not my father. We're just two grown men saying goodbye. There's no need to forgive, no need to forget. I know your mistakes and you know mine. And then the words, and this one always gets me, of Gary Allen's Tough Little Boys would float through my head. I never cried when Old Yeller died, at least not in front of my friends. But it's, well, how the words go, but how one little girl with little blonde curls can certainly scare me to death. And then, of course, the other one, Stephen Curtis Chapman's I Danced with Cinderella. I danced with Cinderella because I knew something the prince didn't know. That she goes away at midnight. And so all that's running through my head. And all three of those songs wreck me. It's just what they do. And then I thought of Jesus' words in our gospel reading today. I was in the front yard by this time, mowing. And Jesus is saying, my Father is your God. Jesus had two fathers. He would return to his heavenly Father. And yet, according to his human nature, I wondered how much he missed Joseph, his earthly dad. Did Jesus, like us, ever sit down and asked the air, "Why did you die?" Or say of Joseph, "I miss you." And as I was thinking of that in that moment, I thought of something, or doing something, that we Missouri Synod pastors are basically, shocker, taught never to do. And that is use the text as a pretext, or let a liturgical, or let a Hallmark holiday trump the liturgical day. But yesterday afternoon, I missed my dad. And so I got done mowing, got cleaned up, came back to the office, and put what I was thinking to paper. And on this Hallmark holiday, I do want you to think about your father. Perhaps your father's, your earthly one, who does his best and yet fails repeatedly to emulate your heavenly Father, God the Father. I'd like to share with you a bit of me. What is it that makes me think the way I do? What has formed and shaped me? And I hope to be less of the stiff, formal clergyman who desperately wants to be reverent and respectful of holy things, not wanting to put the spotlight on myself, and be, for a bit of your time this morning, a son. If you still have your dad, don't be thankful for that. And don't get upset at the man he is. Figure out what made him to be the man that he is. Think about your dad. Firm and stoic. Doesn't cry. Maybe if you're a teenager, kind of a jerk in your eyes. It's possible. Once I saw my dad, and I realized he wasn't 32 years old anymore. And yes, when my dad was 32, I was 12 or 13 years old, so I do remember when my dad was 32. And when I saw that, I wrote this. There is a word that comes to mind to describe my father by this son, one word to clarify and define all that my dad has done. So when the son is asked to say what word to use this day, it's indestructible. In my eyes, he always stands larger than the heroes and the gods of old. For to this son, he is the man that in the face of life stands bold. He doesn't see the things I see, nor does he understand what he means to me. He's my dad. He's indestructible. He's done what a man should do. The first gift that he gave me was to love his wife. He sacrificed for his sons too. He stood firm and carved for us a good life. From the filth of the foundry to the boardroom, he's walked the years that fly all too soon. He's my dad. He's indestructible. Leading, guiding through my days, he shepherded me along. He's molded, shaped me to the man I am today. And following his example, may my kids say, "My dad's strong." May I then boldly say, "Your grandpa led the way. By example and by teaching, he passed the faith in Christ to me, and without a doubt, he's brought us to the gates of heaven's eternity." He's my dad. He's indestructible. He's guided the family by word and deed. Though not the oldest, he was granted head seat at grandma's table. By quiet acclamation, he's granted the right to lead. Through new life and life's passing, we've looked to him to keep us stable. Now, in meek humility and with no fanfare, he quietly stepped aside and he's given my son his chair. He's my dad. He's indestructible. Lately, I've seen him, gray hair upon his head, his wits sharp as ever, and yet, quite to my surprise, the man forever young to me did not run, but limped instead. No matter what the years may say, he'll always be youthful in my eyes. I'll always be his boy. He'll always be my dad. Now may my son grow to be a better reflection of you and me. Then through the generations, Dad, you'll always be indestructible. Thing is, though my dad was witty and funny, my dad was often a very hard man, angry, with a volatile temper. And there were years that I hated him. But there's something else, something I didn't know. I didn't understand that he was alive before I was born. You see, kids, your parents, they're people too. Your dad is a people. He had a lot of forming before you were born, and many streams of life poured into your dad to make him who he is. And not all those waters were positive. I had to learn that about my dad. Get over my selfish self-centeredness to realize that in raising me, my father was doing the best that he was able to do, and perhaps even better than he should have been able to do. Let me share this with you, and please humor me today. You see, my dad wanted me to preach his funeral. I didn't. Could I? Well, I thought I might have been able to, but then after Dad's death, I went to my office and read it, and I fell apart. It's better to let Pastor Bishop be the means through which the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Besides, that frees me up from feeling as if I wanted to praise, and it gives me the time to mourn. But this brief sermon was written while my dad was in the hospital the first time, and we didn't know if he would live. I read it to him, and now it has a few changes. But I dare say Jim Thompson is one of the few men in the world who's ever had his funeral sermon read to him, and he got to hear it. Dear God, I don't know how much of my whole life is a life of prayer and how much I need to drop to my knees in prayer. As things calm down a bit, accept my thanks for Mom and for all the nurses and the doctors and their attention. Lord, I do not know how to pray or what to feel. So as you know what I need, accept a prayer that is simply my emotions. Strengthen my faith in the faith of those around Dad and the faith of Dad himself. Grant healing if it be thy will, and grant the grace to say, thy will be done. My dad never knew his dad. Roy Thompson died when his son was 2 years old. So for Jim Thompson, there were no Father's Day cards. There was no wrestling in the living room. There was no fatherly advice. Only silence. Silence and a desperate looking for a father figure. Jim was baptized, and through Christ he was made a son of God. Yes, that's true, but as boys do, they cast around for that father figure. His brothers were so much older than him, and as brothers do, they must go and forge their way into the world. His mother never remarried. In family lore, a quiet kind that you don't speak out loud very much, tells us that his mom did some dating. One time a man dating his mom was going to help them pick up a Christmas tree. But he told Jim, the girls can go, but you can't. You're a boy. You need to stay. It must have been crushing. Jim, there was a voice in the background. Jim, you are always my son. You always will be. The men of the church should have been there for him. It wasn't always so. He was told he didn't need to go to a scout camp out. As a boy, you can imagine hearing the words from your scout leaders. Jim, you don't have a dad to go with you, and it's not fair to the other boys who do, so you can't go. I'm sure there were tears that day. Oh, and I'm sure anger from a boy. But if God the Father can cry, he cried with Jim. There was a voice in the background. Jim, you're always my son. You always will be. Remember, your name is engraved on the palm of my hands. Some of the clergy didn't step up either. He and some friends were kicked out of the gym at their church one day. The cause of their banishment? They were playing basketball with Catholic boys, and the Catholic boys weren't members of the church. I witnessed him being voted out of another Lutheran congregation. His offense? He was standing up for baptism and up to a pastor. One or two shepherds of the flock weren't fathers to Jim, and a voice said, "Son, I'm your father above every father. You're mine. I don't ever leave you, and I don't forget you." You see, all of this could have driven James out of the church and away from God, but it didn't. Why? Well, it certainly wasn't because Jim was good. He had worries and insecurities and a temper that a few people got to witness. He made his fair share of mistakes. He needed to stand before God and say, "I am a poor, miserable sinner." So what was it that kept him in the church? Well, you know, and I know. The God who adopted Jim in baptism held him as a father, clung to him as a father clings to his son. And this God never left him. This God, the true God, washed James in the waters of holy baptism, cleansed him from every spot and stain of sin. This God, his heavenly Father, dressed James in the righteousness of Jesus Christ in robes the color of blood, Jesus' blood, and yet at the same time, robes that were white and holy. And this God fed James with the true body and blood of Jesus and the sacrament of the altar. My body, my blood, given for you, my brother. To my Uncle Don, you're his best friend. To his brothers-in-law, you are truly his brothers, but Jesus is his best brother. Brother in the Heavenly Father. Christ is the food of love and life, all of these giving faith. Faith in Jesus, his Savior, his brother, his life. A brother who said, "In our Father's house are many rooms. I will come back and take you to be with me where I am." And through it all, this quiet Father watched. Our Father in heaven watched, led and guided. And every day the Father watched over the walls of his mansion, watched out the windows. Every day the Son came closer to home. The Father saw the Son cry, saw the Son marry his wife and raise his own sons. The Father stayed close as Jim kept his confirmation and his marriage vows. The Father saw his son battle leukemia. He saw his son's pain and his struggle to breathe. And then the Father ran. He ran to Jim. He ran to his son. "Jim, I'm your father. Jim, it's okay. Your home. I am your dad. Abba, Father. Come to my home. Come and enjoy the paradise prepared for those who have faith in your brother Jesus. Now, son, walk with me in my house and wait a bit more. Wait a bit more for the day when my children's bodies shall rise from the grave and be glorious, raised in immortality, raised in incorruption, with joy adorning the very being. Wait for the resurrection, the new heavens and the new earth, and it will be glorious. Wait in my house for the full outcome of your faith, resurrection of your body and life everlasting. I sure can tell you, my dad never knew his dad, but he's met his father face to face, and they both smiled. So today, remember your fathers, Donald, Luke, Carl, Walt, Leonard, Clarence, John, Lynn, Dallas, Dean, George, Vic, Ivan, Jason, and a host of others. And if your father's living, don't let the time go, but remember to cherish him. If he has passed to glory, remember him and go and heal the rifts in your family. Love your siblings. Don't be at odds with them. Honor your father and remember above all that you have a heavenly father, a father who is our God. And may he be our God and our father forever. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace, which passes all understanding, be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.